Fierce.
An artist's job is sometimes to create the difficult conversations that need to be had.
Fearless.
That's what art is for.
'Cause nothing compares.
They tried to bury me. They didn't realize I was a seed.
Nothing compares to you.
Remembering the late Sinead O'Connor.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sinead O'Connor.
On Radio Nova.
I'm Dee Woods. Well, it is indeed a sad day for Irish music, both the industry and its fans, with the shocking news that Sinead O'Connor has died. She was found unresponsive in her London flat on Wednesday. She was 56. Sinead literally burst onto the scene in November of 1987 with her debut album, The Lion and the Cobra. And it wasn't long before her voice would reach the far corners of the world. President Michael D. Higgins says, "You couldn't but always be struck by the depth of her fearless commitment to the important issues which she brought to public attention, no matter how uncomfortable the truths may have been." Taoiseach Leo Varadkar says her talent was unmatched and beyond compare. She certainly was a woman whose beauty would stop anyone in their tracks, and whose voice, both through song and speech, caused so many to sit up and take notice. We'll be talking about Sinead for the next hour here. Please do join in if you want to on 087 18 18 100. It's very clear from the messages so far that she was the thief of our hearts, both in this country and so far beyond. We'll be talking to Stuart Clark of Hot Press in a few minutes here on Radio Nova. But let's start it with the song that took her global and all these years later is still so huge. Originally done by Prince, but done so much better by Sinead O'Connor. The video to go with it as well, absolutely outstanding. Remembering Sinead here on Radio Nova, Nothing Compares to Sinead. And here's Nothing Compares to You. A worldwide number one, a signature song, I think it's fair to say, from Sinead O'Connor, Nothing Compares to You, playing on Radio Nova, as we remember today Sinead O'Connor. I'm talking now with Deputy Editor of Hot Press, Stuart Clark. Thank you so much for making the journey in here today. It's a weird day.
It's really strange. I'm a bit numb, to be honest with you. It hasn't really sunk in yet. I can't even speak about her in the past tense.
Sure. Yeah, well, it's still so fresh. I mean, yeah. you've been there all along.
Well,
Hot pretty
Press,
much
going back to the 80s when she was in a band called Tonton McCoot.
Wow.
We actually have a photograph of her where she was doing kissograms for a brief while to make some money.
My God.
In a French maid outfit that she rocked.
I bet she did.
She really did. I can remember back in my radio days, 1987 in Limerick, someone sent Mandinka to me with a little sort of post-it label saying, "This is special." Mm. And I played it, and by God, it was special. For me, it was like hearing Bowie in 72.
Wow.
Doing Starman or the Sex Pistols' Anarchy in the UK, because I'd never heard anything quite like it. What she did with her voice, it was like an instrument. And you're a youngster, Dee.
I am. I was five when The Lion and the Cobra came out.
I'm an old man, and in the 80s, Ireland was a man's world.
Sure.
And the music industry was very male-dominated. We'd had wonderful female singers, you know, Mary Black and Gay Woods, but nobody with quite that story to tell. And the determination to tell it, even though in telling it, she was going to damage her career. And she said to me once, "Look, I'm not a pop star." I was, but that wasn't the objective. "I'm a protest singer." I think she saw herself as a Bob Marley, not an arrogant way, or a Bob Dylan. She had a truth, she was going to speak it, and a journey.
Mm.
And it was a remarkable journey by anyone's standards.
She definitely didn't seem to be someone who was chasing fame and fortune. At
no,
any stage?
No, I read some ludicrous obituary in The Guardian saying she didn't have the focus to be a star. She was mega.
What?
She was on Saturday Night Live, and that is as big as it gets. Mm. If she'd have decided to go a certain way and play the game, she would have been Madonna. But
yeah,
she decided not to. And she went on that TV programme, and the people she offended deserved to be offended because they were complicit if they weren't kicking up a fuss in what was going on with all this abuse.
Mm.
And she said it. And, you know, Frank Sinatra wanted to kick her ass. Well, you know.
I mean, did you see that was the Saturday Night Live, obviously, the tearing up of the Pope photograph.
Yeah.
And a week later, Joe Pesci presented and said something equally as horrendous.
The misogyny
was just
scale.
You could say this on national TV in America. That was amazing.
A young woman.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, she was well able to take care of herself some of the time, but not all of the time.
Yeah. I have a clip of her, actually. Remember when she went on Dr. Phil of her own accord?
Yeah.
And she was discussing that, how, like that, it's not us kind of commenting of how she could have been. She knew this herself.
The photo itself had been on my mother's bedroom wall all my life. I was genuinely very angry with what the church were doing. By ripping that picture, you know, I risked my career, everything. I could be a billionaire now if I wanted, if I believed in that, you know what I mean?
I'm sure there's not many people that could come back from something like that, as you say. I mean, we look back now and say, wasn't she amazing? Wasn't she a trailblazer? The Leah Rodi on her. But at the time...
Oh, she got dog's abuse for that. It was a brave thing to do. And she never stopped being brave, and she never stopped speaking for the underdog if they didn't have their own voice, or she'd amplify their voice. It's emerged today, the incredible acts of generosity towards the LGBTQI community, especially the trans community. She would give them her clothes and mementos to raffle to raise funds. She was an ally, and that was quietly done while she was doing other stuff very loudly.
Sure.
So you had the two strands. One was under the radar, one was, boom, she was bipping away.
That was one of the things you've said in your tweets about how there was truth in everything she did. She wasn't doing it for the crack.
No, she was ahead of the curve. I mean, if you listen to I Do Not Want What I Haven't Got, which is probably her masterpiece. Actually, they're all masterpieces. Black Boys on Mopeds, about police targeting of young black men. That was 2 years before the LA riots and, 35 years before George Floyd?
Wow.
Again, she was castigated for that, but she knew. Interesting seeing the tributes. Everyone from Jedward to Ice-T. And she was really held in very high esteem in hip-hop circles. Chuck D from Public Enemy was just saying she was our sister. She was doing the same thing as us, but in a different way on the other side of the Atlantic. But, you know, he saw her as a kindred spirit.
Written by Bono, Gavin Friday and Morris Caesar, You Made Me the Thief of Your Heart, Sinead O'Connor from, of course, In the Name of the Father from the early 90s, playing here on Radio Nova as we remember Sinead O'Connor today. You know, the 90s, very, very much on screen in many ways, I suppose. We referred to it there, myself and Stuart Clark of Hot Press. That fateful night in 1992 on American TV in Saturday Night Live. She talked about it to Dr. Phil when she was on with him back in 2017. I always assumed Sinead was going out on stage, kind of grabbed a picture of the Pope off the printer or something. But no, as she told Dr. Phil, she'd been planning this.
So I had planned it for a couple of weeks. At the very end, I pull out the picture of the Pope and tear it up.
Of good over evil. Fight the real enemy.
Silence.
Threw it at the camera.
Silence. Everywhere. It was fantastic.
So what happened afterwards?
My manager vanished for about 3 days. He went to his hotel, just unplugged the phone. About 10 years after that I don't remember, because that's when it became acceptable and it became the norm that I was treated by everyone I knew, from family to everyone, like I was an absolutely insane, crazy person.
What a moment in history. And as we just said, looking back, it was just took serious guts to do what she did. Also on the big screen in the 90s, you may remember Sinead O'Connor in The Butcher Boy as the Virgin Mary.
Hello, Francie.
Hello, Our Lady.
How are things?
Not so bad.
Let me keep the music coming from Sinead O'Connor's career. We talked about The Line of the Cobra being an absolute explosion on the music scene in the 80s. I'm going to stick on the second single released from that. It's absolutely rocking. You remember that performance on The Late Late Show? Many of us do. Let me play for you next here on Nova. From her debut album, The Lion and the Cobra, Sinead O'Connor, Mandinka, playing here on Radio Nova. In this tribute, nothing compares to Sinead. Thank you for the messages on 087-1818-100. Just what a voice, quite simply, says Stephen. Completely, completely agree with you. Rach says, I'm gutted to hear at her passing. There was nothing like the raw emotion in her singing. You're so right about that. She just poured her heart into it, didn't she? Also, yes, of course, that scene from The Butcher Boy, says Roisin, when she gets exasperated with Frankie. Let's just leave it at that. I couldn't play that one out in the radio, could I? I really wish I'd met Sinead, going by these messages of people that were lucky enough to have done so. Like this.
Bob Mullingar here. I used to get to meet Sinead quite regular in a couple of venues that I worked in Dublin, mainly though a place in Donnybrook called Kiley's. She was very quiet, she kept to herself, she was a very pleasant person, and I have to say that time she tore up that picture was it opened my eyes too to the world of what was really happening. So, R.I.P. Sinead.
Yeah, she opened many eyes. Emmett Coakley's also been on to say, I was lucky enough to meet her and see her at the live gig for Barrettstown in the Olympia. She was also in my taxi about 11 years ago. A lovely, warm, sincere lady gave me a lovely tip too, which is a nice thing to say, let's be honest. Sinead worked with many people, a lot of collaborations throughout her career, of course, and many times she worked with Republic of Loose. She did vocals on their third album. They did more than one live stage appearance together. And Mick Pyro from the band joins me now. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks very much.
It's a weird old day, isn't it?
Strange, yeah.
Very sorry for the loss of your friend. We did a lot of performing together.
Yeah, we played a lot. We had a good few gigs. We did the Meteor Awards and the Academy. And we did a song where we produced a song for which she did a cover version of Curtis Mayfield, and we kind of produced it for her, and she sang on her album as well. Mm. But it's a terrible loss. Jeez. Everyone's in shock, I think, you know.
I think you're right. There's a lot of bewilderment today.
She was such an important part of the soul of the country, really, you know what I mean? She was kind of like a matriarchal kind of godhead or something. She was very part. I think she was very important for women across the world and for Irish people in terms of how she had the guts to face off against the Catholic Church, you know, at a time when that wasn't a done thing. She had a lot of guts, you know, a lot of soul, obviously, and I think one of the most gifted singers that ever lived, you know, and but definitely one of the most influential. If you think of the 90s and all those kind of singers like Alanis Morissette or even Dolores or many other rock singers, they kind of took most of their style from her, I think. I mean, she kind of invented a certain way of singing that became kind of de rigueur in the 90s. You know, just one of the most influential vocalists ever. And such a lovely, kind person. Just when you're in her company, she's just very funny and very witty and charming, I mean. But it's terrible, you know. And she's never had any notions about herself. She's always very open and kind, you know, to people, even to strangers, or, you know.
How did she do that? Is that an Irish thing? Because she had all the goods to be arrogant, and she had the looks, she had the sound, she had the attitude.
Yeah.
But she seemed to be really down to earth.
She was completely, yeah. She didn't take any crap out of her, to be honest.
But sure.
I've seen her go through people you know, who might have been presumptuous, but they probably did. They deserved it, you know. But I remember I came in one time, she was in the studio singing the song that I wrote, and just the intensity in the room was like, she was hard. I think she had a hard time getting her head around the lyrics because they're a bit crap.
You're allowed to say that. Yeah. Your own song.
In retrospect, you know, she probably just didn't think the lyrics were up to her. But she was such an intense thing because she had to feel it from the spirit, you know. She had to really feel it from inside. I think it was almost like a spiritual explosion every time she sang it. I think she was, it was something very elemental, kind of very, very powerful. It's almost like it was coming through her, you know.
Shane McGann with Sinead O'Connor, of course, playing Haunted on Radio Nova. This is our tribute to Sinead O'Connor. Nothing compares to Sinead. And Shane McGann himself tweeting this afternoon just saying, Sinead, I love you and I hope you are at peace. You know, there was a bit of a renewed love for Sinead O'Connor in our psyche maybe in the last few years with the release of the Nothing Compares movie.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sinead O'Connor.
It was such a shock for me to become a pop star. It's not what I wanted. I just wanted to scream.
I had booked her on Saturday Night Live.
Basically, everything I had been raised to believe was a lie. I wasn't thinking to myself, I must be strong. I didn't know I was strong. An artist's job is sometimes to create the difficult conversations that need to be had.
I mean, to turn this life into a movie is an absolute no-brainer. And here's our man at the movies, Clint Dreeburg. You saw this. I remember you talking about this at the time. It's not that long ago.
Yeah, in the cinemas last October it was, after premiering at Sundance. You know, it was quite an accolade to be there. And the lovely director, a lady by the name of Catherine Ferguson, Belfast-born filmmaker, a fan of Sinead when she was a kid, pinched herself when she was able to make this documentary about Sinead. I was lucky enough to speak to her when the film came out in the cinemas. Trying to speak to Catherine today, she is devastated.
Yeah.
She sounds a little bit happier at this time because we were speaking a year and a half ago. But here's her explaining what Nothing Compares is.
How do I describe it? Well, I just as a documentary feature that really examines the meteoric rise of Sinead O'Connor, how she used her voice how she really used her voice to speak out when she was a global superstar, and the unbelievable reaction she receives for doing so. So I would say it's a very focused feature doc that very much looks at the years 1987 to 1993 in detail, and lays a foundation to examine the cause and effect of why she goes on to do what she did in 1992 with the infamous tearing up of the Pope's picture on Saturday Night Live, which I think has been a piece of cultural pop history that people just maybe didn't understand well enough, you know, why she did what she did. So our film is hopefully a bit of an explanation about that.
Without giving too much away, the film revolves around Sinead telling her story, perhaps talking to you, an audio narrative. When was that moment, or how did that specific day go?
The interview was recorded at the end of 2019 in Ireland, and it was just such a key element, you know, that we were able to get for the film. You know, of course, we could have edited together the hundreds of hours worth of interviews that are already out there, you know, in the archive houses, but really it was essential to me that we would have her narrating her story from a contemporary point of view. You know, the media have done such a fantastic job of being incredibly reductive with what Sinead has to say. So I was very sure from the beginning that I wanted the key takeaway from this film to be that you actually heard her and you could hear her clearly and in an uninterrupted way for 90 minutes, you know, throughout the film. So it was a really important and essential interview to be able to get. And then, of course, the rest of the film is archived. There aren't any talking heads. It's not an Obstock style film. It's a film made up of archive predominantly that is set in the era 1987 to 1993, so that we could deep dive into this part of her story and hear it and look at it through this contemporary lens.
It really is Sinead in her own words. I was lucky enough to see it in the cinema, but you can still see it now. It's actually premiering on Sky Documentaries and now the streaming service this weekend.
Wow.
So if you didn't get a chance, please do yourself a favour and check it out. Extraordinary also that Nothing Compares, the documentary, actually doesn't feature the song. I won't explain why. You need to see the film to understand why, but it still works. There is so much. And that iconic video clip is the focus and the beginning, the middle and the end of this film. And Catherine Ferguson, this is a credit to your work.
I think I'll look at that video now from now on, and the bit where the tear is rolling down her cheek, and just, I think I'll see it in a different light after that. Thank you, Clint Dreeberg, our man at the movies. Well, we've heard from so many people in the last hour. Mick Pyro of Republic of Loose saying Sinead O'Connor is in command of every situation she's in. How well put. Stuart Clark of Hot Press spoke of her humour and her wit and how Nina Simone was in awe of her. And Anita on the text line just saying, Dee, I think of Sinead O'Connor as like being our big sister. I can't explain why, it just feels like that. Lovely words. I think she literally just rocked our world with music and, of course, her voice, both in song and in speech, and her absolute timeless beauty. Rest in peace, Sinead O'Connor. We're thinking of her and, of course, her family today. Let's leave the last words here on Radio Nova to the woman herself.
A lot of people have this impression that I'm this great sort of tough woman, you know, just because I happen to say what I think. And it is a form of prejudice, in my opinion, for people to set me aside just because I say what I think and say that I'm a great tough woman, because, you know, I'm not. And just because I say what I think doesn't mean I am. I mean, I'm a nice, sweet little girl.
It's been 7 hours and 15 days since you took your love away. Your love.